Ticky-tocky, ticky-tocky, hoy, hoy, hoy.
Good try. They're not words.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
Wow.
And welcome. The award for you only had one job goes to...
Trish.
Chris.
Welcome back to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast, streaming live on Digital Stream Radio. You can listen live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. on Eastern Standard Time on digitalstreamradio.com. My name is Tom, and I am your host. And as always, I'm here with my two amazing, crazy co-hosts, as you can see today, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all. Nick or Trish.
And...
Good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome you all to The Dish.
The Dish!
There it is. She had to gay it up a bit.
She did. Really gay.
We're not allowed to make fuck-ups anymore because of this live thing. That didn't go too sweetly.
Well, you know, it is what it is. I think that, you know, it serves for a good laugh, but we do need to explain why we did that. It's been one hell of a week. It's been a very interesting week. A lot of things happened, a lot of good things, sad things, amazing things. But overall, it's been a very, very interesting week. So, you know, as usual, once we wrap up a show, we talk about a lot of the things that are coming up. And one of those things was the Rocky Horror Show that was taking place at the Shea Est in Hartford, Connecticut. And Chris and I had the opportunity to actually attend. Unfortunately, Trish couldn't make it because she had to work, and that's understandable.
Mm-hmm.
But love we had such an amazing
time. It was so much fun.
Time.
It was a great time.
We're going to talk about the Rocky Horror Show, but before that, Chris and I and a friend, our friend Edwin, we went to a restaurant.
I was missing Bayern. I needed a little Bavaria in my life, and we had to take the closest we had, so...
We went to...
East Side Restaurant
in
New Britain.
In New Britain, Connecticut. And let me tell you, when you first walk in, okay, so you have these... There was this, like, massively... And not massive as in big... As in, like, you know, fat, massive as in tall woman dressed up in, like, real, authentic, like, garb. And
hold on, well, Chris, what did you say?
Dirndl?
Not a word.
I was waiting for it.
It was, so she's like, you know, she's very, very, very loving and amazing. And she comes in and she's like, hey, guys, you know, how are you? Welcome, da, da, da. We're sit down. And going through the menu, I'm like, all right, Chris, you're going to have to help us out here.
Explain because, everything.
Know, yeah, yes, please do. So I ended up having the, what did I have?
You went bratwurst? No, he didn't even go German. I'm the only one who got German food.
No, I did try some.
I did.
He did.
I had Jägerschnitzel.
I ended up getting a prime rib, but I had other things that he had on the table and I tasted, which was really tasty and good and delicious. But the best part was the beer.
Yeah, it was good. You guys were having the Franziskaner Hefeweizen. I was drinking the Palliner. No, the Hofboy original. Yes. It was, Tommy was so cute. We got the big liter beers because, yeah, I mean, why not? You have to get the big ones. But he was so cute because he had to drink it with both hands.
Well, yeah, because I was holding the mug and I was like, oh shit, you know, I haven't exercised in such a long time. This goddamn shit is heavy. So I'm picking it up and I'm drinking and this, oh, you just look so cute. And then he's like, I got to go use the bathroom. So he's like running around trying to look for the bathroom and he forgot to tell us that these fuckers, amazing by the way, will come back to the table and yell at the entire restaurant and say they got the big beer and then they go ticky ticky tick, wait, ticky talky, ticky talky, hoy, hoy, hoy. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Edwin and I. Okay, so picture it. Two Puerto Ricans.
That's the best part.
Two Puerto Ricans sitting in a German restaurant and they're screaming. And all of a sudden, the whole bar goes, hoy, hoy, hoy. And we're like, oh, my God, what the fuck just happened? And here comes Chris. Oh, I forgot to tell you about that. This fucker. It scared the shit out of me. It's but you hilarious. Know what?
Did you think you were, like, being threatened or something?
No, I mean, I knew that it was something that they were doing. I just didn't expect it. I didn't know that that's what they do. But, I mean, I found it fun. But at first, I was like, what the fuck is going on? Are we being punked?
They're like, Puerto Ricans, eating here. Like, that's yeah. A whole chant in their own. And they shame you if you get the little beers.
He's lucky I'm sitting here, otherwise that would be considered racist, but...
Well, yeah, that's why I can say.
We're all exactly. A little bit racist.
Yeah, in our own little ways, I suppose. No, but it was fun. I had a blast at the restaurant. The food was delicious. The beer was amazing. Mm-hmm. I had one of them,
yes.
And then this guy ordered a little one. And what do they say when they order a little one?
It's like, we have a baby beer, or someone's got a teeny beer, and they shame you.
And they shame you.
They shame you.
They go.
The last time I went there, this is only my second time. Only my second time there. And I went, and I had three of the big ones, and the waitress comes by, and I'm like, look, we got a long night ahead of us, and I really can't have another big one, so I'm going to go ahead and order a little one, but could you not shame me? And she didn't. She probably just lost her job because I said that, but... So I recommend it. Check it out. Eastside Restaurant in New Britain, Connecticut.
Oh, and I have to mention it. It literally, it looks like, well, it feels like the restaurant was just dropped in this neighborhood.
It's in like the worst area.
It's not in the best area. It's not probably the worst, but it's not the best either. But it looks like the restaurant just like literally appears out of nowhere. It's like this huge castle in the midst of, you know, all this craziness.
Yeah.
But it was good. It was a really good experience. I would definitely go back. You're saying that there's another one in
Springfield, the Student Prince. If anyone can get out there, I highly recommend it. It's by far one of the best German restaurants that you can get your hands on in New England. It's so authentic and amazing.
So, Trish?
What?
Road trip?
Road trip!
I'll probably have to work.
Can I get a Jawohl?
Jawohl!
Jawohl! Okay.
All right. So now let's talk about the reason why we went to Hartford. It was the Rocky Horror Show. So two or three episodes ago, we had Summer Orlando and most of the cast of the Rocky Horror Show. And we ended up going. And let me tell you, what an amazing performance.
Yeah, they did a great job. It was a lot of fun.
The cast was great. The singing was great. The people that were there watching the show, the interaction between the cast and the actual, you know, the spectators was awesome. People were spraying water with water guns. They were throwing cards. They're yelling out, you know, call shots throughout, you know, the entire production. It was great. It was a fantastic experience. I'm glad that we had the opportunity to see it. And I'm sure that anyone that went on a Saturday and Sunday really had a good opportunity as well to enjoy it.
I just forgot about something. That where Summer was talking about squirt guns, and she was like, no one better shoot me in the face with a squirt gun. I wanted to get a super soaker. Someone did have a squirt gun, and I forgot.
They did.
Next time, Summer, I'll get you. I'll get you next time. But I did run into someone that I used to work with at a Boy Scout camp. I was like, I knew it.
Didn't you run into your ex as well?
My ex, yes, but he's my friend. Camille did come.
He's awesome. Yeah. He was actually really nice.
We had a really good time. It was a lot of fun.
We hung out. We drank. Well, they drank like fishes. I had to behave because I was the DD, so I stopped drinking like 2 hours before the night was supposed to close.
Whoever planned the seating was very smart for the bar because they put us at the bar. They literally roped off four bar stools. So my back was to my like basically personal bartender. I just had to look back.
I requested that. Thank you, Matthew.
There you go. There you go. It worked out great.
And I just have to say that I'm sad that I couldn't make it. I was planning on going, and last minute I had to pull out because of an emergency at my job.
And that's understandable. Shit's going to happen all the time. Yeah. You know, but it was great. And, and we cannot forget about what happened.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so...
Wait, don't tell that story yet, because I have a segue for it.
Okay, so we have to... there's something that happened before the show started. We're going to talk about it later on in the show. We'll come back to it, because Trish has a segue into that, but it's fucking hilarious. So, anyway, why don't we talk about today's cocktail? You want to do that?
Go ahead, Trish. You got to... You're like...
I don't want to talk about the cocktail. That's not my thing. Chris, you do the cocktail. Okay.
Woo-woo! That's actually the name of the cocktail. Woo-woo! It's actually very simple. It is a vodka-based drink, obviously, because we love vodka. Mm-hmm. It consists of vodka, peach tree schnapps, and cranberry juice. Oh, God. Well, the woo-woos are working.
Can I just say the first time somebody ever ordered a woo-woo at Partners to me, because, I mean, it happens a couple of times when somebody orders something that you've never heard of, and so they're like, can I have three shots of the woo-woo? And I'm like, what the fuck? Yeah. What the fuck is a woo-woo? That's not even a real thing. And they were like, no, it's totally a real thing. Look it up. I was like, this bitch is telling me to look something up.
She schooled you.
Hell no.
Yeah.
But anyway, I found $5. Moving
on. I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of $5 being found.
But it is delicious. You could do it as a shot, and you can also do it as a martini.
Yep.
It's very good. Very delicious.
I used to serve mixed shots for like when I was working weddings and stuff. People like them. And they're easy. So you can ask for those. They're easy.
Yeah. I mean, or if you want to just be, you know, intelligent and know what you're asking for, just be like, can I have some vodka with peach tree snaps and cranberry juice?
Snaps. Some peach tree snaps in my vodka, please.
All the time. All the time. No, but it's. Are you guys having fun?
Okay. I love the new setup that we have here.
So if you, ooh, baby. Yeah, they're playing with the boom arms, and they're like going up and down and like trying to figure out how to play with it.
I push it away, and it comes right back.
This is what happens because they can't see us.
It comes right back.
People can't see the shenanigans we get into.
I know.
It's all nuts. But listen, so I have a really cute story coming to you all the way from the French quarters in New Orleans. Now, this happened last week. Got to remember that we record on Monday, so by the time next Monday comes, some of this stuff may have already been out there, and you may have already seen it, but I wanted to sort of kind of talk about it a little bit. So there was this New Orleans cop that spanked a street performer, someone who was performing at the gay Easter parade that they do in the French Quarter in New Orleans. So is it Nolens?
Nolens.
Nolens. Okay. So
I'm from Connecticut. I don't know.
Yes. So that moment, basically, when the officer just delivered the slap to the backside of Queen Bee Amour, which is basically one of he's a well-known performer. He's a street performer, and a lot of people know who he is. Literally just went up and just smacked him. And I think to myself, okay, this happened in the South. Mm-hmm. And as you know, a lot
in
of things.
In a progressive city.
Well, of course, and in a progressive neighborhood, but nonetheless, it still happened in the South. And to see something like that happen and have it be a very lighthearted moment where people, you know, the crowd gets laughter out of it and they applaud, etc. It's a beautiful thing to see in light of all the shit that's been going on in our community.
Yeah, and it's really nice to see encounters like that where police officers are showing, you know, we're part of the community. We're just like you guys. I mean, obviously, there have been a certain string of things that have happened between the community and police officers, but this just goes to show, like, stop looking at every police officer and thinking that he's a bad cop. Like, that's just not true. I mean, we've had Officer Dave Hartman come on, and he's an incredible stand-up guy, and he serves the community, and it goes to show he serves the community that he is part of. So it's nice to see these little gestures shared on the internet.
I'm sure he enjoyed it too. So, I mean, look at that ass.
No doubt, that ass
is
amazing.
That's a serious ass. Yeah,
you know, but he's driving a motorcycle. He's got his little helmet on with his little long pants and his boots, and they look very shiny. He get it.
But it's funny the way the way the other cop's looking at him, like, Fred, what did I tell you about that? It's exactly like the face he's giving him.
You know, I'm gonna get you when you get home, right? I'll spank you for real.
His mouth is slightly open. He's like, oh, no.
No, but I'm
about to go viral.
Yeah, this ain't going to be on the internet, is it? Well, this won't be on Gay Talk 2.0, will it?
Not at all. Are you kidding me? No. But I thought that it was a very endearing moment, and it's about time that we see some news from police officers being a little bit more lighthearted than what it has been in the past. You know, all this craziness. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Bravo. Claps for him. I found $5.
Yeah. No, it was a good story. We need to talk about those lighthearted moments.
Mm-hmm, of course.
Because they don't always happen. I mean, there's a lot of negativity being thrown around right now. And having a moment like this is really important that like I keep saying, we have to be more visible. And the fact that these cops can appreciate somebody and just have that fun-filled moment, it's really important. So that's great that we brought that up and talked
about it. Can you imagine us having a parade and Hartman smacking my ass in front of everybody?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, I can totally imagine.
Honestly, the police would probably line up and you would just kind of like on the float go down the line.
Yeah, Dave. Get ready for that. Seriously. Pride in the Park. Norwalk.
Oh, yeah. God.
Well, remember,
we're not going to be here for that.
Yeah, I know. We're going to be actually in D.C. for that weekend, enjoying the Gay Pride celebration in D.C., but also being a part of the march that's going
to
happen.
Looking forward to that.
And I think that's going to be a very, very historic moment for our community. It's also going to be the first time in a very long time that we've had the opportunity to gather for a really, really amazing purpose, and it is to show this president that, you know what, you will not silence our community at all, and we're going to be strong. We're going to come together, all of us, every faction of our community, and really show them
and push
who
back.
We are.
Yeah,
we're going to push
back.
We're
going to have support from, you know, not only our own community but from our communities abroad. I know that people from across the entire globe are going to be standing there and supporting us and just wishing us the best turnouts, and I'm just so looking forward to that.
You know what makes me proud? Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Sorry, no, was it Bill O'Reilly that got fired this week?
Yes,
he did. So he got fired this week, and I'm thinking to myself when this happened, I was like, how the fuck does he get fired from a network But the president of the United States is a sexual deviant.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Well,
not only did he get fired from the network, he got paid off for his contract, $27 million.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Disgusting.
But he's also going to have to pay a shit ton of people, I think.
He already paid them off. That already happened. All that was already settled out of court. So he's not paying anybody anything other than losing his job and gaining $27 million. All of that was litigated out of court.
You know what? Honestly, like, it really bothers me that somebody's going to get fired for their job, yet the highest office in the United States is
Billy Bush.
I was just about to say Billy Bush.
They were both having conversation about grabbing women through by the genitals.
You can say the word.
By the pussy.
Thank you.
And he gets fired. And this asshole gets elected to office. Mm-hmm. Sorry, but not sorry.
It's fucking disgusting. It's like these Trump supporters, like, how ridiculously dumb are you? Literally, think about your children. If any of you Trump supporters have a daughter, how would you feel if somebody said that about your fucking daughter?
Well, he's the president of the United States. He's supposed to be a role model. So his actions, that's showing that that's okay. And that's not okay. We have a person that's supposed to be the biggest role model.
Well, that's
in
why
our country.
That's why
degrading
hate crime
values.
Yeah, you're right. That's why hate crime is fucking shooting through the roof right now, mm-hmm. because we have a role model that's allowing it to happen.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely,
encouraged during these incredibly tense election campaign season. He was just encouraging, bringing the fear up, bringing the hate up, and allowing that to become a new norm.
But you know what? The amazing thing to see, though, is how we're reacting and how our community leaders and people who have a visible appearance in our community mm-hmm. are literally organizing and doing amazing things. You have a story about one of our previous guests, just doing an amazing thing and saying, So, Chris, talk about that.
Yeah, I was reading today about Dan Savage. We had him on one of our an episode maybe a couple of months back, a little ways back. Anyway, I was like, when was it? So, yeah, we had Dan Savage on, and he's using his disdain for President Trump for great causes. He's an LGBT rights activist. He's an author. He has podcasts. You know, mm-hmm. he's did a sex column. That's where he really got started, was it?
Yeah.
He's raising he announced on April 18th that he raised $100,000 for three organizations, and he got that money from selling different products that have ITMFA,
which we've talked about on the show before.
Mm-hmm.
So again, impeach that motherfucker already. And with that, he shared that between different organizations, and
I'm pretty sure that this ITMFA actually kind of was reinvented again. So I think he started it for Bush. And now it's coming back
for
Trump.
He's like, I never thought that we would see a president as worse as Donald Trump, or as worse as
George Bush.
And now Donald Trump is. And I got to get the numbers. I have it where the money was sent. Okay, right here. He donated the money, $33,000 approximately each, to Planned Parenthood.
Amazing.
ACLU. And the International Refugee Assistance Project. So that's one thing I love. Like, I mean, all those, it's great that he was donating to the three of them, but it's such a good, like, punch in the gut to the Republicans. Like, if you're going to try to take Planned Parenthood away, you're going to literally have to tear it from our arms. Like, they might try to cut the funding from it, but we as people will stand back to make sure that that incredible organization can reach everyone in all their communities and keep people safe and educated.
Well, they do so much valuable work comes out of Planned Parenthood.
Of course.
They do a lot of testing for, STDs, prevention, education. They also do medical assistance for people who don't have the means to afford, services. They do.
And I believe if you don't have insurance, all they do is ask for a small donation. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, in some states they do.
Okay.
Actually, here in Connecticut, if you walk in and you don't have insurance, they will help you. Mm-hmm. Or they'll direct you into other places where you can actually go to and get get assistance. But they will help you and they will treat you.
And with the state of our fucking healthcare.
Mm-hmm. And they do, it's a very, very vital role. They also do sex education. They do pregnancy prevention, classes to teach teens how to prevent a pregnancy. Mm-hmm. They talk about condoms. They talk about STDs. It's a really, really fantastic organization. Their health clinics do fabulous, amazing work. It is not all abortions like these assholes
want you
to think.
That's minuscule. That's minuscule.
It is literally a fifth. Not even. It's like 5% of what they do is related to that, and that's not even at all of their locations. But it is such an amazing organization, and people need to realize that if this goes, a lot of people are going to be losing the only coverage they have at this moment.
Yeah. Well, it's a safety net, and it's an important safety net. And can I just, I want to back up about the whole abortion thing, because obviously I don't give a fuck. It's your body. Do what you want with it. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important to note that these, I've known so many people that have had abortions, and I've seen the process that, the process they go through after the fact, it's horrible, and it tears them apart. It's not something that they want to do, but in some cases, it's something they have to do. Mm-hmm. And who are you to tell somebody what they can do with their body or what they can support? Our country is already like in such a deficit. Why are we going to put more people on welfare because they can't afford to support themselves, let alone a child? So
you're right.
I mean, and I'm not necessarily for or against abortion. I just feel for individuals.
Well, I mean, I'm not in a position to have an opinion other than what I know from the professional pamphlets that they put out and the information that they have. It's a really good organization. That's what I know. I'm not a woman. I am not faced with the decision to, you know, hey, I need to do this. So I would never know how that feels.
No.
But know this, that I am not in a position to tell you how you should, you know, deal with your reproductive issues or with your reproductive, you know, whatever it is that you need to do to ensure that you are okay. Mm-hmm. It is not up for me to decide.
Right. And that's the problem. That's what shows that we have such a broken government, because these people that we elected these people, they should be, they're going on these massive crusades to try to pull rights from individuals while our bridges are collapsing. Our education system literally just got thrown out the window. We're forgetting about climate change. And with all the different threats going around the world, those are big pictures that Mr. Trump, work on that stuff. Keep people safe.
I mean, I hate to make this like comparison, but it's similar, I mean, in a weird fucked up way, but it's like when Hitler tried to blame the Jews. They're trying to focus.
It's always a scapegoat.
Yeah, it's a scapegoat. They're trying to focus the American attention on something that doesn't really fucking matter, like the wall. Mm-hmm. Get over the fucking wall.
Which is usually what they do to, you know, work on something bigger that is more impactful that people will not notice until it happens. Mm-hmm. And that's the sad part. So, you know, if you can, hey, listen, send a donation in and send it in the name of Donald J. Trump. And then you have or put down the address, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest. And literally, they'll send them a fucking certificate in his name for his donation.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Send it.
And it takes people like that, just someone
to
stand.
It is a tax write-off, though, so keep that in mind.
Well, we're never going to see his tax write-off. So,
but you can literally, you know, fuck the government twice.
But it
fuck him and then get the tax write-off.
It takes like these little things like that and people to stand up against. I mean, look at the judge from Hawaii, you know, standing up again against his proposed travel ban. And Jeff Sessions being like, I find it crazy that some dude on an island in the Pacific,
fucking
like,
keeper
that's
elf.
One of the United States. That's not some island in the Pacific. It's one of our states. And he's doing his job. And Donald Trump doesn't seem to understand that we have three branches of government. And that's to keep the checks and balances in place. You try to put something forward that's unconstitutional, someone's going to stop you.
Yeah. I mean, you're getting checked, hon. Yep. And you're going to continue to get checked. Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's sad that this is where we are. But, you know.
But I'm fucking proud of our judicial system right now. Proud.
I am too. But I'm scared.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I'm scared because, you know, you've got two justices right now that could either retire or die. That is very terrifying right now because what just happened and the fact that the Senate went nuclear and took away the
shame,
the 60 vote threshold to ensure that that party that has the party with the less amount of people or in the Senate get a say. And saying, okay, well, you have to clear 60 votes for someone to become a Supreme Court justice. Mm-hmm. So by taking that away, simple majority can now confirm anyone. So there is no debate. There is no compromise now in our Senate. Now, if we get another right-wing extreme judge appointed by this president, all it takes is a simple majority. And they already have that majority to confirm this next judge into our Supreme Court that could tip the balance. And then anything that they propose that goes up to the Supreme Court to if someone challenges it, may end up being turned down, not heard. And that will have a significant impact in our laws and the way that we operate in our three government system.
Right. Well, and I think that's why there's been so much talk about filibustering, because that's the only thing Democrats can do right now.
Well, they can't do it anymore. When they had the filibuster, which is the 60-vote rule, they had the power. When you are the party with the lowest amount of senators in the Senate, so you're the minority.
Right.
The power that you had was that it took 60 senators, so the majority and a few more of the opposing party, to confirm a nominee.
Right.
We don't have that anymore.
No, but you can still filibuster.
You can filibuster
a vote.
No. You can't filibuster a Supreme Court nominee anymore. You can filibuster a legislative what do they call those?
God bill?
Damn, a bill. You can filibuster a bill, but you cannot filibuster a Supreme Court nominee anymore.
Okay.
So now simple majority will actually confirm that nominee. And that happened because the current leader of the Senate.
I know. Yeah. They went
the
nuclear.
Rules.
Motherfucker.
Which I don't even understand how that's possible to work in our form of government.
Well,
that's insane.
Those were the rules. And, you know, the first time around, so let's not forget that Harry Reid did this as well when he was a Senate Majority Leader. None of the lower court nominees that were being nominated by Obama were being passed. So he decided to change the rules, and he started this. It was always a 60-vote count for lower court nominees, for higher court nominees, and for any legislative attempts to pass any bills in the Senate. They changed the rules. And then he set that precedence. And that's what Mitch McConnell, unfortunately, reacted to. Well, they did it. Now I'm going to do it because you're telling me you don't want to confirm my nominee.
Right. This is what I was stressing so much during the election season, because I was worried that, you know, if Trump becomes president, which he did, he's going to have the power to be putting justices forward. And like you said, there's the possibility of two seats opening up in the foreseeable future. And that really does threaten the balance. I'm very left. Everyone knows that. Like I'm more to the liberal, way more to the liberal side, but I appreciate that we have a balanced court. That's what is, so everyone's voices are heard. I like the 4-4 and the swing vote. If it ends up, he gets two more, that's going to teeter to the right side all the way.
Right. And it's not just about the Supreme Court balance. We should have a balance nationally with the House and the Senate.
Yeah, bipartisan.
This is just absolutely ridiculous. And not to mention, our president should be, the Democrats and the Republicans should want and be able to work with the president or work against if needed. Because that's the point of the check and balances system. But right now, there is no system.
Well, the only thing that we have is our judicial right now.
Right. But there's the potential of losing that, which we've been talking about, which is we're in a really tough spot right now. And we have to be really aware of what's going on.
The only thing that we have right now to look to is the possibility of having a change in the 2018 elections that are coming up in about another year. We're looking at
Hopefully
a year,
Trump's
maybe in a couple
not in
of months.
Power at that point, but
don't hold your breath.
It's, you know, the man has done everything possible at this point.
He's literally just a child. He doesn't know what the fuck he's doing.
Yeah, but Democrats are just as bad as the Republicans. They're at the point where they literally hate each other. They're just fighting nonstop.
And I don't know if we've talked about this on the show, but I remember everybody slamming Obama for his fucking vacations. Let's talk about
Mar-a-Lago.
Every weekend. Motherfucker just goes away every week. What the fuck do you think this is?
He has spent more money.
You're running our goddamn country.
In less than 100 days than Obama did in his entire presidency, visiting his little Mar-a-Lago resort.
Like, this is absolutely insane.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Absolutely insane. Your president is not even there when you need him. You don't get weekends. I'm sorry, you don't.
No, and that's what he said. He said, I'm not going to be vacationing. I want to be in the White House because I have a lot of work to do.
He even said something about President Obama golfing and shit.
Yeah.
Wrong.
He called him out about golfing all the time. He goes out and like Donald Trump said on the campaign, he said, I'm not going to be going. I'm going to be in the White House. There's a lot of work to be done. He's out every weekend. Yeah. He's not. And one of the worst parts is while he's in Mar-a-Lago, he's having these incredibly confidential discussions and classified discussions with people sitting in the dining room.
Yeah.
Like waiters can be walking by and hearing like, you're going to do what to North Korea?
I'm
like,
going to tweet the shit out of this today.
It's
you know, it's the only thing that holds me is the memory of our beloved President Obama. Oh Lord, have mercy! Do I miss this man? He finally came out of his little silent hiatus today, and he delivered one of his first public remarks of his post presidency today, and I'm just like, wow, the man basically, you know, came on TV and did what he needed to say. And we were like, wow, we missed this. He basically said, we cannot give someone like him power. We have to move forward. We have to keep going and just look forward to 2018. Make sure that you are well informed and
ready to vote.
Ready to vote. You have to go. You want to make change, you have to vote. The only way that we're going to do it is by hitting that ballot box.
And it has been said over and over again. The millennials, the younger generation, this made us wake the fuck up. Mm-hmm. We are woke, for lack of better term. And I need everybody that listens to this podcast and everybody in general to stay woke, because we need in 2 years to get, not even now, but to get out there and vote, and we need to change that balance. We need to make it equal in there so that we can actually work together and not have a one way this or a one way
right,
that.
That's why what so many people are calling for is the rise of a real third party. And that's what I'm betting my hopes on. We need to break this two system. The Democrats and the Republicans just go for each other's throats nonstop. We need a American People Party. Like, we need a third party to come up, and that's what so many
Bernie
supporters
Chris, saying that we need an American People Party, that's fine, but at the same time, each party was an American People Party to begin with. So
every single party that's ever existed turns into what this is.
Yeah.
Which is this battle back and forth for power. But all of this basically is because the people that fund these campaigns are looking for something. They need something. And they take these politicians that we send to Washington and they throw money at them and say, you owe me. And then these politicians are conflicted between what they promised their constituents and what they must do now, because, you know, it's like, oh, we're with the big boys now. So when we get to Washington, we set out to do this, but we're getting crucified over here. We're getting threatened with the fact that even our own president threatens senators and representatives with running a campaign against them.
And judges.
So that they bend to his will. Just like any other, you know, you have all these people, these lobbyists that come and say, hey, listen, I'll throw money to your campaign if you do this for me.
Right.
That's the sad part.
At the end of the day, the real sad part is the fact that we do have the two-party system, because looking back to our biggest founding father, you know, George Washington, one of the greatest heroes of the American history, he called, please, for the love of God, do not split into a two-party system. And that's what, over 200 years, why it brought us to this hellhole that we're trying to get out of
right
now.
Well, I mean, the two-party system, unfortunately, you know, I have my reservations on Washington. Granted, he's our first president, but the man owns slaves. That's all I'm going to say about that. You know, but here's the purpose of what Obama basically wanted to do. Basically, what he wanted to do was make sure that he went out and spoke to developing next generation leaders, leaders that would take us into this next era that we're going to, hopefully, after Trump. And hopefully this whole nightmare that we're living in doesn't ever come back. I hope that the American people wakes up now and says, I need to get out to this ballot box and we need to make change. We need to bring back what we lost.
Yeah,
because we lost a lot.
Yeah, but you know what? The scary thing is you still have Trump supporters supporting him and defending him.
And that's
his approval rating is lowest.
Abysmal.
It's abysmal. And I don't think any president has ever had an approval rating like this before.
Oh, but if you ask him, what does he say?
Within the first 100 days.
Oh, he had, yeah, I mean, he had more people at his inauguration than anybody else. I mean, yeah.
His numbers are amazing.
Yeah, but you have to look into the alternative facts, Trish. But, you know, if we're going to call out, and this is maybe we can get away from Trump because we've been talking about him a lot. I do want to call out the administration and say that I am incredibly disappointed that you do not have a strong condemnation for what is going on in Chechnya. You're standing back, and that needs to be condemned, what's going on out there. People are being sent into concentration camps, and there are different organizations across the world that are calling for some things are very simple. For one, Outright Action International has made a very easy suggestion to, you know, really get at the Chechen president, which is part of Russia, Ramzan Kadyrov. Tag him. He has a public account on Instagram. So they're calling all the stuff you're sharing on Instagram, anything for gay rights or anything, just to shame him and show that, yeah, hey, look, the world listening, we know what you're doing out there. Tag him at Kadyrov underscore 95. That's KADYROV underscore 95. Tag him in everything. Tag the shit out of him and let him know we know what's going on and we don't stand for this. But Donald Trump, you need to tell this man to seize up and stop killing innocent people.
Well, as long as he can face up to his bitch. Well, no, wait. To his pimp, because, you know, Putin is mm-hmm. his pimp and Donald Trump is his bitch. I've always said that and I stand by that and I don't care. So I think we need to take a break.
I don't want to talk about Trump anymore.
I'm a little parched. I need some liquor, alcohol, something, a cocktail. Yes, queen. So, Nick, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm trying to find something and I can't find it.
Okay.
I'll come back to it.
Why don't we jump into our Angels and Assholes segment and then we'll come back and do the rest of it afterwards. Can we do that? You want some love, honey?
Yeah, sure.
All right, let me give you some love. Hold on, let me do it here. Here we go.
All right, everybody, I'm looking for something. I'm scrolling.
He's got a sexy voice.
Okay, so the following senators have been chosen to be our honorary assholes. James Lankford and Steve Daines. Why, you ask?
Why?
These senators signed a letter asking the White House to sign an executive order defending religious freedom that would allow for discrimination against the LGBTQ plus individuals. For their actions, we label them
assholes. All right, now take it from here. Well, this episode is dedicated to none other than Martin Benitez Torres. He was 33 years old. Martin was loved by his family. His family was heartbroken when they found out that he passed away in this horrific, horrific event that was what happened at Club Pulse in Orlando, Florida. We would like to dedicate this episode to him and say, rest in peace, my baby boy. Again, his name is Martin Benitez Torres. And we'll be back. This is Pulse by Melissa Etheridge. Underneath the skin, everybody's got a pulse. Once again, I hang my head to cry. I can't find the reason why they died. We will find the answer blowing in the wind. But everybody's got a pulse. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats with my blood. Love will always win underneath the skin. Everybody's got a pulse. Who you gonna hate now when there's no one left but you? Who are you gonna gun down? The truth that it's inside of us, it's inside our blood, it's inside of us. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win underneath the skin. Everybody's got a pulse. Everybody's got a pulse. Everybody's got a pulse.
I am human, I am love, and my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win underneath the skin. Everybody's got a pulse. I am human. Always win underneath the skin. Everybody's got a pulse. Everybody's got a pulse.
So you say this is human. Heartbeat versus mine. I'm in chains cause I'm choosing. Showing love for living life. I shouldn't have to leave where I stand. I shouldn't have to change who I am to count as a human. Feel my pulse. With your hand on my heart, you know it beats just as hard as yours. Feel my pulse. Oh, feel my pulse. Can't you see that I'm scarred? I'm just the same as you are. So just feel my pulse. Oh, I wish I could reach them. Strip away what separates. It's the same air we're breathing. Same tears run down our face. So I don't have to leave where I stand. And I don't have to change who I am to count as a human. Feel my pulse. With your hand on my heart, you know it beats just as hard as yours. Feel my pulse. Can't you see that I'm scarred? I'm just the same as you are. So just feel my pulse.
All right, well, welcome back from the break. That was Pulse by Melissa Etheridge and Feel My Pulse by Eli Lieb and Brandon Ski.
Oh, I'll feel your pulse, baby. Oh,
feel my pulse. Oh, I needed somebody to feel my pulse last Friday when I threw up all over my bathroom, but yes, thank you. So, guys, before the break, we were still talking about something very, 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 very important. Of course, it's all the craziness that fucking Cheetolini, is that how they call it?
I don't fucking know.
But either way, Trish wanted to mention something before we went on break, but we decided to let's take our break and then come back, regroup, refresh, get some new cocktails, and then, of course, come back. So what did you want to say, Trish?
So Chris was talking about Chechnya and how the United States has not stood up or said anything. And in fact, we actually did. The ambassador to the UN, Nikki Haley, who I'm learning to appreciate.
She is by far the only appointee by this fucked up president that has actually made sense.
She's doing a very good job.
Yes, she is.
I'm proud of her.
Well, I mean, even in her own state, I mean, she got the Confederate flag removed from the state house.
Yep.
You know, she's got a good head on her shoulders, but you know, I'm still going to watch you. Do you hear me, Nikki Haley? I'm still watching you, bitch. Just saying.
So she said, if true, the violation of human rights cannot be ignored. Chechnya authorities must immediately investigate these allegations, hold anyone involved accountable, and take steps to prevent abuses. She also followed that with, we are against all forms of discrimination, including against people based on sexual orientation. Haley said, we left unchecked discrimination and human rights abuses can lead to destabilization and conflict. So I think it's important to note that, yes, the United States is not doing enough, but they're taking some step.
Someone's doing their job.
Someone is stepping up and saying something on behalf of the American people, because I would like to believe the American people does not stand for this.
Yeah. Even those who don't believe in like marriage equality, I would like to think that they, you know, they have a heart to say these people are being rounded up and slaughtered. It's
unacceptable.
Yeah,
really.
Unacceptable.
And before we go any further, listen, guys, if you've heard anything on today's broadcast, which is, by the way, streaming live on digitalstreamradio.com.
Hashtag plug.
Feel free to, you know, call us. I have the phone line open. It's 334-429-8255. Again, that's 334-429-8255.
Numbers are hard.
334-GAY-TALK. Call us. Let us know what you think. We are currently, like we said, we're live on the air. So if you want to talk about what it's, you know, anything that we've already mentioned, please do that. So Nick, sorry, go.
No, I just think that it's time that we have some fun.
Yeah.
And move into something that's a little less heavy.
Or political. Whenever I talk to people and I'm like telling them about the show, I'm like, you know, we talk about current events, pop culture, politics, but we're not a political show as we go on for about 35 minutes talking nothing but Trump.
Here's the thing, like I said earlier, like, we're woke. We're woke and we're going to be woke and we have to stay woke. And I think that it's important that these things get talked about. However, we do like get stuck on it.
Right. Because... people don't want to hear just Trump. They want to hear about gay penguins and stuff, you know?
Well, that's true. No, but you know, the important thing is, you know, sometimes we're funny, sometimes we're crass, sometimes we're sad. And that is what the show is.
That's what I call, you know? That's what I love most about it. We're the perfect balance of class and trash, both informative and distracting at the same time.
We talk about everything, but you know, the sad truth. But the sad truth is, because our main responsibility is to our community.
Correct.
What's going on right now?
It's scary.
We have to address it. There's not much good stuff. There's a lot of bad stuff. And we'll try to, you know, balance that as best as we can. But there's a lot of bad going out there. We need to make sure that we keep talking about it and that we keep mentioning it, because we cannot lay still.
That's what makes this a movement. That's what I love when Hartman called Gay Talk 2.0. He's like, this is a movement, what you guys are doing. Mm-hmm. And I love that, and I hold true to that, and we will. We will expose the bad, and we will put out the good.
So speaking of that, if I may interject here for a minute, I had the opportunity to also go to another event this weekend on a Sunday, and that was Pink Eggs and Glam. And I've been to another one before. I have to say that, you know, the two performers this time around were absolutely amazing, just like Pissy Miles. Pissy Miles was great. We all went. She was fantastic.
It was so much fun.
And we're working on getting her on the show, correct?
We're trying to, yes. So we work out the logistics of getting her to call us and talk about, you know, her experience and who she is, what she does, all that good stuff. But, you know, we had Angela Saxon do a performance at this Pink Eggs and Glam in New Haven at Four Norelli's restaurant in on Orange Street in downtown, and also the incredible Sutton Lee Seymour. Wow.
I'm so upset that I had to miss it.
Wow. All I can say is, okay, if you thought Pissy Miles was good, which she was fantastic, okay, this queen tore the house down. She brought the house down. She was fantastic. Very theatrical, very theater-ish. She took a lot of songs and just completely changed the words and made it their own. These are artists. I'm sorry. This is not your typical I'm going to lip-sync drag queen, which is, there's nothing wrong with that. That's also amazing if that's what you want to do. But these people actually sing. They go out there and they earn their dollars. And let me tell you, I threw a lot of those out during this particular performance. It was great, you know. And so the reason why I brought this up is because you mentioned something about us bringing the good and the bad of the community and everything that's happening. So I was scrolling through my Facebook not too long ago, and I saw a message. And the message said, it wasn't directed to anyone, but it said, if you hold events in our community, and they're not, you know, like for donation or for charity, and you're making money off of it, then really it's not benefiting the community. And I was like, wow, that's a slap in the face. And I hope that that's not directed to Sky Casper, because a lot of us are all in the same circle. And I said to myself, okay, wait a minute. I attended this event, and I attended a couple of Sky Casper events. And if this person is talking about Sky Casper, well, let me tell you something. Not all events are benefits. Not all events are fundraisers. What this man is doing is something amazing for our community, because he, whether you make money or not, somebody has to make money.
Well, yeah. I mean,
we all have to make money.
He's running
his job.
Business. Yeah, he's running a business. Of course, he's there to put food on his table.
That's his job. So you can't sit here and fault him for doing his work, his job. What he's doing is he's creating these events, whether he's making money or not. He is bringing the community together to have a fantastic brunch, get together, meet people that you would not ordinarily meet, and have a fantastic time.
He's bringing I've been to drag brunch in New York, and it's amazing.
Yes.
Now, he's bringing that to a smaller community. Correct. In Connecticut, mm-hmm. which, again, I keep saying it, visibility. He's bringing something that's so important, so lifelike. I mean, that's not the right term. I don't know where I'm going with this, but basically what I'm saying is that he's bringing something so that people can see we are a community, we are fun, we are smart, we have a great time, just enjoy right. what we bring to you.
And I hope to hell he's making money, because he's probably working his fucking ass off.
Yes, he is. He deserves to make money.
And he's doing a very good job.
Let me tell you, not everything is a fundraiser, not everything is, you know, a cause in our community. You know, we have to remember that we're still human, and we need to have a good time, and we need to enjoy ourselves, and we need to help others. And yes, there's a lot of, listen, if you want a charity, find one.
Yeah.
He is not a charity. This is an event where you can go to have a great time. Like I did. Oh my God, did I have a good time?
But at the same time, you can think of it as a donation to a charity too, because you're going, you're enjoying something, and it's also bringing something to a community that otherwise wouldn't have it.
Exactly.
And bring it back. Hopefully, keep it coming back.
That sense, yes. You know, he's bringing something to this community that we are usually not exposed to. And let me tell you, it's not only the gay community, because when I was sitting in that audience, I saw a lot of straight people that came out to this event, and they were just mesmerized by Sutton Lee Seymour and her artistic expression and how she was just fantastic. And as people were walking out, I was actually standing by the door, you know, because I was waiting for Sky to greet everyone and thank them, and so that I can have an opportunity to say, hey, listen, thank you for what you do. Thank you for inviting me and having me. And as people were walking out, they had this group of older ladies that were there, and I was like, oh my God, wasn't that amazing? We need to go to the next one. This is great. I have never seen anything like this. And they're right. We have never seen anything the likes of what this young man is doing in our community, in Connecticut. And, you know, bravo.
And something I'm really proud about that he's doing is, you know, Four Norelli's is taking it on. Mm-hmm. He went to just an Italian restaurant in New Haven. He didn't go to York Street Cafe. I used to work there. Or a Partner's Cafe. I kind of worked there. Like, he didn't go to the two gay bars. Like, he brought it to everyday establishment.
And the owner of the bar got on the mic this Sunday and thanked everyone for coming and said that, you know, he feels honored to host these events.
That's awesome.
He was great. And, you know, he was very attentive. He walked around the restaurant asking people how everything is. You know, it was basically a buffet style breakfast. And then you have your, you can do bottomless mimosas or have drinks or cocktails, whatever it is that you want to have. Overall, it was an amazing time. Sky Casper, thank you.
Yeah.
He's having another one next week in Berlin. Berlin?
Berlin.
Berlin?
Berlin. Berlin's in Germany.
Yeah, Chris corrects me all the time. So, you know, if you have an opportunity, check it out. It's really a great time, and you can't go wrong. And for those of you who are hating, fuck you.
And, you know, even more than, even bigger than fuck you, this is for Sky. Like, thank you for what you're doing, because your work is bringing the whole community, not just the gay community, the whole community
together.
By having everyone, you know, we're sitting next to each other, we're having a meal, we're enjoying a show, we're
across
drinking a couple
their
drinks.
Exes, it's fine. You know,
no, but I mean, that was amazing, by the way.
That's still bringing the community together.
But so this
I
time
do have
around,
to say that, it, honestly, though, I have to say, it probably helped my relationship with Steve, because me and Steve are in a good place.
Good.
Yeah.
And that's awesome.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, and we wish one of the Steves the best. Of the many, right? No, but and, you know, and the one thing is, you know, that we love the fact that, you know, our co-host, Nick or Trish, 2020, as our listener likes to say, is in a committed relationship, and Ian is a wonderful guy, and we're super happy for you, and Ian listens to the show. So, you know, we make fun of all the Steves, but there is an Ian, and he's great, and he is amazing. Fuck you all.
He's actually in tech right now for the Marvelous Wonderettes. At Castle Craig Players.
I saw that. We should plug
we
that.
We are all going to go see it. But he
again, I wasn't invited.
No, for a reason.
These fucking bitches.
For a reason. But no, it's going to be a really great show. They sing, it's like, you know, the 50s songs. And these
I love
women,
the 50s. I mean,
these four women sing these songs, and it's. I think it's going to be really great.
One of my favorite songs from that era, Blue Moon.
I don't know
if they
sing that. You
saw me standing alone. But I don't know. It's
without a dream in your heart.
Exactly. Yes.
I was just about to hand Tommy $5.
You know, when you think about, you know, the Big Bopper and Richie Valens, and you think about, you know, all these amazing artists, which, by the way, we lost all. And who was the other one? Richie Valens, the Big Bopper, and, Buddy Holly. We lost all three of them in a plane crash back in the, you know, and that was a sad day. As the song says, the day the music died. That was basically what that song was written for. So
let me just actually plug this a little bit better. So
yes,
the Marvelous
let's do that.
Wonderettes,
yes.
The new musical comedy featuring your favorite hits from the 50s and 60s.
I am totally
May
there.
May 5th through the 14th. Tickets are now on sale. You can go to Castle Craig Players at something. Castle Craig Players on Facebook. I'm sure there's a link somewhere that'll take you to tickets, or tickets are available on.
So this is a better plug, right? This is a better plug.
m.bpt.me. I don't know what that is, but you just go to the Castle Craig Players Facebook page, and you can find it. But the theater's really great. It's like one of those theaters where you go and you can bring your own food, wine, beer, whatever you want.
Oh, we're going to be
BYO
drunk.
Everything?
BYO everything.
We are so going to be drunk. We'll bring chips, dip, everything.
Wine.
I do have to say, Ian has removed drunk people before, so we can't be obnoxious.
Oh, he's totally going to have to remove me then.
Darling.
Goddamn mess.
I dare you to remove any one of us. We'll burn you
I
on
was
the
like,
show.
Is that a challenge?
No. He's a wonderful guy, and we're super excited. I can't wait to see this now, because I love the 50s. Mm-hmm. One of the best things about the 50s music is harmony. If you want to learn how to harmonize, listen to 50s music. If you're a musician, if you're a singer, and you want to learn how to harmonize, listen to 50s music.
I do have to say, though, a lot of music from like that era, you can't replicate it. I mean, like, we have all this stuff that's, you know, pop music now, but
no.
Shit is just, like, the Beatles, they're never going to die. You know what I mean? This music will live in infamy forever. I remember I grew up listening to this stuff. So it's like, of course I know it.
The Beatles, I'm not knocking their musical talent. I'm not a huge fan of the Beach Boys.
They're more rock.
The Beach Boys are great.
I just don't like that surfer sound, but they're talented. They're very good singers. They harmonize well. It's just not my style, but like, yeah, those guys, they got the harmonies down too. I moved away from the mic when I said that. I'm like,
Like, but it's true and it happens. So Ian, congratulations, and I'm super excited because now I know what the show is about. I'm super excited to see it.
It's gonna be a lot of fun.
Speaking of shout outs, meanwhile
in Canada,
I thought I didn't have a Canadian fact, but I totally do. It's a shout out to Kevin from Quebec.
Hi Kevin.
Hello Kevin.
And hola.
He works. He's a manager.
He lives in Canada, not Mexico. Okay.
Bonjour.
Sorry, we missed all of that because we were talking over one another. So yeah, exactly. Say that again.
Wrong border. Up north.
Go north. True north.
They've got a wall of trees.
I actually have my Canadian jacket. Yes, that border.
Yeah.
I have my Canadian jacket here today, Kevin. And I just want to give a shout out to Kevin and his husband because they said, quote, "My husband and I think you're the cutest. We would totally adopt you so you can be an official Canadian. I'll be sending you my address so you can send the application." Okay? Thank you, Kevin.
God, that's awesome.
And husband, all the way from Quebec.
Why does everybody want to touch you?
They want to adopt me.
Yeah, well, we all know what that means. You're over 18, honey.
It is. And we chatted for a while, and he's like a really cool guy. So we'll see you. Oh, he wants us to come to Montreal or come to Quebec, and you'll give us a little tour around, so we'll be seeing you in the wintertime.
You know, and another shout out, you know, to another.
Hell fucking no! I'm never going to Canada in the wintertime. Are you fucking crazy? We'll go in the summer.
It's beautiful.
No,
they do it much better than we do. Yeah. They don't have like snow on the floor. They get the melters and the goddamn things.
They remove the snow.
They remove everything. We let it just sit in our goddamn fucking streets and
the winter
pay taxes anyway.
The winter carnival is awesome. It's so beautiful in Quebec City.
We'll dress you up in a lot of layers, Trish. You'll be fine.
I'm gonna need a lot of layers.
So listen, another shout out again to another couple who won our last week's competition for our poop story.
Yes.
Ben and Josh, just to let you know, we've submitted the information over to the proper authorities to make sure that you guys get your squatty potty as soon as possible. So Linda, make it happen.
Start that squatting in Las
Linda
Vegas.
Linda actually emailed us back.
I love it, Linda.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think we're going to have her on the show. I'm excited.
Linda has a beautiful story. I can't talk about it yet because we have to make sure that we get, of course, her permission to talk about that story. We did dabble in it a little bit with Bobby Edwards, but I...
Hey, Bobby.
We're super excited.
Yeah, totally.
She is a rock star. That's all I have to say.
End of story.
So, all right, what else have we got, boys?
Well, are we going to keep it light? Or are we going to, well, you know, we were light for a couple minutes, so.
Yes, we were.
So we had you guys smiling for a little bit. Let's make you pissed off or sad.
Let me piss you off again.
Let's go get some Ritalin. Why don't we?
So, as you all know, I am dedicated to my religious people out there.
Hallelujah.
And I love them dearly.
Hallelujah.
However, most of them piss me off. For example, Robert Gallaty.
Fuck her.
Fuck her.
She's a cunt.
Yeah.
Oh, I said it.
You did
say
it.
But she is. I'm sorry. So this mega church, we all know what a mega church is, right?
Yeah, it's one.
Right. So he's just basically like rolling in money.
Yeah. Their parishioners are eating bread and he's got a fucking mansion. Yeah.
Exactly.
So he
business of education, of religion.
He did this whole sermon about sexuality and the appropriate sexuality and whatnot. But anyway, so he literally said gays must be put to death. This motherfucker got up on a mic and started talking about God said that the sins of people have infected the very land in which we live. So what happens to people who engage in activity of this sexual immoral activity? Go to Leviticus 20. God gives us the punishment for engaging in these sins. If a man sleeps with a man as a woman,
I made it bigger for you.
If a man sleeps with a man as a woman,
yeah, so
like
if a man
sleeps
with
a drag queen, or if
no,
a man
no, no.
sleeps
like
with a man
as if you would sleep with a woman, they both have committed a detestable thing, and they must be put to death.
And who wrote this book?
Some white guy?
Men wrote the Bible. God didn't write the Bible.
Exactly.
Men wrote
Which is
the Bible.
Why I say this is questionable. You know,
of course.
I am not the most, I'm very secular in my religion. I am not the most religious person, okay? But I grew up a Catholic. I grew up with all the craziness of what comes with that. I do not believe that there is a God that will condemn us for loving another human being.
No.
No.
At all.
They'll condemn you for discriminating and attacking and hurting and murdering other human beings.
Literally, what happened with the Bible, and I don't care if anybody disagrees with me, what happened with the Bible was there were men that said that they were talked to by Jesus and or God and then wrote those teachings down. But really, what they wrote down was their prejudices.
Right.
Their suggestions
for how you should live.
But I mean, and there are some amazing things in the Bible and some amazing things to live your life by. But then there are also some really negative things that tear down people as individuals. And this man that runs a fucking mega church,
a self-proclaimed prophet,
right, and a mega church, he is rolling in money. When what does God say about money?
It's going to be really ironic when, if he gets into heaven, when God's sitting there and he pretty much smacks him across the face for being a dick the whole life. He's like, I never told you to be an asshole.
Yep.
I actually told you to be a nice guy.
Oh, God.
You know what I used to say to my brother? So my brother and me used to have issues with my sexuality. He's come a long way. And I used to look at him and be like, you keep this up and you're going to have a gay son. And not that I'm burdening anybody with that.
No karma.
It's karma. Mm-hmm. But like, it's something that you're going to have to love him so deeply and fear for his life every day.
Mm-hmm.
And for this man, fucking Robbie Gallaty, I think I'm saying your name right.
Probably.
Mm. I hope to God one or more of your children are homosexual so that you can learn what it means to struggle in life. So you can learn what it means to be a real person. So you can learn to not be a fucking discriminatory asshole.
Yeah.
And all I have to say, if you disagree, please call 334-429-8255
there
right
it is.
Now. So we can talk about it.
Yeah. I just feel like God is going to be, I feel like God wouldn't spit in this guy's ass if his guts were on fire. Like, he's probably so pissed off from how he's just hurting people and preaching hate and hate and hate.
And imagine all of those kids that have heard this sermon that are now fearful and that their families are like, oh, I can't be who I am because this guy says it's wrong. It's not wrong. Be you. Live you. This is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. The fact that people are still preaching this shit makes me want to go nuts.
All I can say is be a Linda in a world of Carl.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Yeah, there you go, Tom. Okay.
And I wasn't referring to your father, by the way, because I know his name is Carl, right?
Yeah. Who are you? Who's Carl?
I just made the name up.
So, how about this? Be a Linda in the world of Pastor Robbie.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's
better. Be a Linda.
That's better.
That being said, I'm going to move on to one more pastor that needs to be slammed.
Someone else is getting slammed in this one.
Pastor, why does he look a lot like CeeLo Green?
He does.
Oh my God, he does.
I thought it was when I was looking through the notes.
Let's say the name so the people that are listening to the live broadcast can actually Google him and see what we're talking about.
John Gray.
Thank you. So John Gray is a pastor, and he recently was accepted to the OWN Network, which, if you don't know what that is, it's Oprah Winfrey's network.
Oh, come on, Oprah, really? I know.
A little disappointed in her for this one.
More than a little. Not a little. I'm fucking pissed off. I'm slamming Oprah Winfrey right now. This bitch, you've done so much amazing shit. So much amazing shit. And to put this motherfucker on your network is a fucking huge step back, especially right now of all time, to put him on your network.
Mm-hmm.
You have failed the gay community by allowing this to happen. Moving on.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy. Maybe this is a teachable moment for her.
Well,
Oprah,
I'm sorry. He's an African American man and she's an African American woman. And if that has anything to do with it, I understand. But the fact that he is against LGBT, so actively against LGBT people, pisses me off. The fact that she would allow, there are plenty of other black pastors that could be on this show. Could be the book of whoever.
Yeah, exactly.
This show is called The Book of John Gray.
I bet Ellen and fucking Rosie are pounding on her door right now to discuss this situation. Like, I don't understand how she ever thought that this was going
to
be okay.
This needs to be a call to action. This needs to be taken off the OWN network.
Mm-hmm. So, and boycott the OWN network then. Don't watch any of this stuff until this is removed from air.
So, okay. So if anyone is listening out there and you have any pull whatsoever and you know who Oprah Winfrey is or you know how to get a hold of her.
And I love Oprah.
We would love to discuss this on Gay Talk. And if we can get Oprah to call us and say, what's going on with this? This is crazy. Because this is unlike Oprah. Oprah, this is the woman that revolutionized TV talk show. This is the woman that opened up a school.
Look, I'm not trying to tear her down. I love the woman. I think she's done amazing things.
She's preached love. Always preached love. Love yourself, who you are.
And I feel like, I'm slamming her. And I don't know if that's appropriate, but I'm as...
It's Lady O.
But, it is Lady O, but Lady O knows what her people went through, what the African-American community went through, and what the LGBTQ plus community is going through.
So like most people...
Don't give that motherfucker a platform.
We give them an opportunity to explain their actions. I want to know why she did this.
Oh, me too. But I mean, because as Chris said earlier, you know, maybe this was brought to her or this was brought up by somebody else or booked by somebody else. But as the owner of the network, she has the ultimate say. And as the owner of the network, I call on you, Oprah Winfrey, to shut this shit down.
Shut that shit down.
Shut it down, baby girl.
Because there will be no book of John Gray.
There'll be a book of Trish just smacked you upside the head with a book. That kind of book, yes.
You tried, Tom. You tried.
I know that I get up on my high horse here, but am I wrong?
No, not at all.
Not at all.
Well, part of me wonders how that works. Listen, like, if she, you know, she owns the network, but is she making these calls, or are there other people that she's paying to make those calls?
See, we don't know all of the logistics of how this happened. So why don't we do this as a community? Why don't we be
our
community?
I'm gonna email her tomorrow.
Oh, and you know what? Maybe we should. Maybe we
Gay
should
Talk
ask.
Is going to email her.
We should ask all of our listeners to email Oprah and ask her, why does she allow someone with this type of rhetoric on her network to talk about, you know, and such horrible things?
I'm sure he's not just going to talk about horrible things, because he got booked on this network because he's so personable and he has such a boisterous, positive light that he like pulls people into this. But when you have an anti-LGBTQ agenda, that is inappropriate. That is not allowed in America in 2017. And that is not okay.
And you know what kills me too is because, you know, Oprah played in The Color Purple. And I don't know if you have you guys seen The Color Purple?
I have.
Okay.
Not.
There was certain like same-sex sort of kind of vibes in The Color Purple. And Oprah had a lot to do, and even Whoopi actually had this very, very infatuation with a woman character on the actual movie in itself. And a lot of people fail to acknowledge this, but I see this when I see the movie, and I see it all the time. Every time, you know, it comes on the TV, because they play it many times, I watch it and I think to myself, wow, you know, there's a lesbo moment going on here between these two women, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But
I want to point out one tweet that he sent out.
Okay.
John Gray. So, no different from fornication, adultery, or lying, or any other sin God was clear about. Mass same-sex wedding ceremony at the Grammy Awards was dishonoring people of faith.
Well, hello. Try telling that to Madonna, motherfucker.
He also said that Target overstepped in its policy of letting transgender people use the restrooms and dressing rooms of their choice.
Fuck you.
Now, this is a person that we want to put out there for people. I don't know. I don't think so.
Now, you said transgender. Remind me to make a point of that after we discuss this next story. We want to lighten it up a little bit before we go into Trish's infamous now gender identity terms and all that good stuff, all his amazing terms.
So. Oh, well.
So, you guys remember Glenn North?
Course. Who's that?
Glenn North was actually one of our guests that we had here. He's just absolutely beautiful. I love him. He's really a
sweet
kid.
He's got a great YouTube channel.
Yes, he does. He's a beautiful, beautiful young man. He's an amazing actor, a great singer, and he's been on the show several times. He was actually our guest co-host, and he was also a guest several times. So he posted a story on his Facebook, and basically what it was is there was a lot of controversy about some filters that YouTube put in place. They were basically some blocks, and unfortunately, in doing so, these restrictions blocked a lot of the LGBTQ content that was being put out there. Michael Buckley was affected. Say,
including Michael Buckley, who's been on the show numerous times.
Oh, absolutely. He was affected by it. Many, many people that were part of the LGBT community that put out amazing, helpful content were affected by these censorships because it made their stuff inaccessible.
And you bet Mike Pence would have put Gay Talk 2.0, block, personally.
Yeah, well, I mean, it legitimately disappeared.
Good try, bitch, because let me tell you, if you try blocking my show, I will go with a fucking megaphone and broadcast it myself and everybody's goddamn
motherfucking
ear.
To you and your discriminating wife.
Somehow it would be on NPR. Yeah.
Oh, I wish. NPR, if you're listening, have us, please.
I love NPR. I listen to all the time.
So basically what happened is, they've basically unblocked it. And he is really proud to report that he's able to actually speak out and make a change. Never underestimate the power that you have to make a positive change in the world. And what he was talking about was basically saying that, you know what, he spoke out against it. He put videos out there against it. He rallied the community against it. Michael Buckley rallied the community against it. And people stood up, and YouTube has actually taken these restrictions off. So now you can access information that is part of the LGBTQ spectrum. And that is wonderful news. And I'm very happy that YouTube finally, came through.
Yeah, no, they should have come through. I said this before. I think that it's not YouTube's responsibility to censor anything.
It is the parents.
It is the parents' mm-hmm. responsibility.
But it's that way with cable television and radio. Like, yeah.
Let alone, it's a lot different than when I was younger. But I mean, there were parental controls on everything when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. My parents weren't stupid.
Even the fucking cable box had a parental control.
Yes, mm-hmm. and it still does.
Yeah, and you can put a password on it.
Yeah.
You want your child to watch anything that's past PG-13, put the fucking parental control on it.
You know, I find it interesting. Well, I think it brings me back to, I feel like I remember hearing bitch on the radio. I feel like I remember hearing bitch, or it was a word that was close to a swear, but that was allowed. But then I remember hearing Panic at the Disco. I write Sins Not Tragedy, or Tragedies, they would cut out the word God. And I wonder if that was like a standpoint against, I found interesting on the radio.
So let me go back to 1991, I think.
I was not even alive yet.
I hope so. Weren't? Okay.
92.
So Queen Latifah was at the top of her game, and she had came out with a song called Unity. And she would sing, U-N-I-T-Y, U-N-I-T-Y, that's a unity. And she would be like, who are you calling a... And they would bleep it out.
The bitch. Yeah.
And so, one of the best female rappers that have ever existed is Queen Latifah. And I remember that because you're saying censorship. I remember that word would get bleeped out. And I'm like, well, what the fuck? It's like, what's wrong with the word bitch?
As he swears.
She is being, truthful, and she's putting it out there. And I remember that... I was in school and we were doing a dance. I'm not going to tell you what grade I was in.
Under the Sea was probably the theme.
We were doing a dance, and the teacher decided that we were going to do it to Unity, but the whole entire song was bleeped.
Yeah.
So we were like, U-N-I-T-Y, who are you calling? Beep. And we were doing our dances, and I was like, this is fucked up, because I have the tape of the original playing, and I want to say the word bitch. I want to be able to speak my mind, and I couldn't do that.
Yeah, censorship is much Curse more it. Strict when it comes to radio than television. But I feel like I remember I'm a bitch. I feel like I remember hearing that.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
I heard that.
South Park, they had a huge episode where they were saying shit and they were numbering it in the corner of the screen. Like, they were actually able to get it out to say shit. But the radio is so much more tough when it comes to censorship.
Well, the FCC has had many rules. This is the issue why, when Janet Jackson had that performance with Justin Timberlake.
Oh, we all know that.
That mm-hmm. booby slip, that caused the world to just sort of kind of stop and say, yo, what the fuck? It's a fucking tit, really?
It's anatomy.
You sucked on it for like ever when you were a baby. Get over it. That's all I got to say about that. No, but the thing is, it's, it's like we give too much power to sexuality in lyrics and in context.
I think we don't give enough
power. I was just about to say, I think the exact opposite of that. We don't give enough power to it. This is how we help.
We, as an American people, as
Well, when I say that, I mean that we give it so much power in the sense that when we make it sexual, it becomes taboo. And I'm like, why? Because it's like, we are all adults, and we're all eventually going to grow into adults, and we're all eventually going to learn about sex. Mm-hmm. And why are we hiding? Why are we...
And sexuality is such an important part of our life. Like, right. We need to be able to express ourselves. We do express ourselves, so just be honest and true to who you are.
Why confine people?
But there's certain things that become taboo. Look at when we had Bobby Edwards on. Like you said, talking about poop, something as simple... There are people that go many years without having sex, and I get some sex. Like, go get some sex.
Go get fucked.
But no matter
seriously.
What, everybody poops. And that's what I think is so incredible, that he made this amazing product.
The commercials are amazing.
Yeah, but he's so right. He's like, poop is taboo, like, talking about it. That's why I had to make it, or we had to find someone, and they made it like rainbow ice cream coming out of a unicorn. Like, we had to butter it up. I'm like, nah, everybody shits. Let me tell you how you could shit better. Here's my product.
And that became an issue. So, all right. So let's move into the your terms.
Are we? Okay.
Gender identity terms. Gender identity terms. And then after that, I have a story for you guys and a plea of help.
What?
I love it. It's the voices that you... Gender identity terms.
He gets all sexy. Ooh, that sounded
mean. I didn't mean it to sound mean.
No, it actually just... you're fine.
Okay, cool. Okay.
You're fine, baby. So the gender identity definition for this week is binary.
Binary.
The like gender code? Binary is a system of viewing gender as consisting solely of two identities and sexes, men and women, or female and female. Or men. I'm going to start over.
The curse of it is so bad.
I'm
going to
start over. So the gender binary system. Oh my God.
Just say 0110101.
One more time. Okay, wait. Do it again.
Tom, that worked that time.
Binary. The gender binary is a system of viewing gender as consisting solely of two identities and sexes, men and women, or male and female.
Proud of you, Trish.
Yeah. Okay, so...
Sorry, I mean, if you look at it, it's binary. I'm going back and forth. I don't know what I'm saying half
binary.
The time.
Binary.
Binary.
Not binary.
Well, I
binary.
Feel like in today's age, that word carries a little bit more weight than... Because you got to remember, we got this from the book Gay Talk, which was...
No, this is not from the Gay Talk book.
Oh, it's not?
We haven't done the Gay Talk term yet.
No, we haven't gone to Gay Talk term
because
yet.
This is the gender identity confused. Term.
Okay, I'm
Girl,
so...
Girl, you got to keep up.
So
keep
binary. Up. Okay.
All right. So it is... So moving on, it's the last week of the STD Awareness Month.
Uh-huh.
So that being said, our Gay Talk term... this week is raincoat.
Raincoat.
Oh, this is the segue.
This is the segue. Okay. So, raincoat, condom, rubber sheath rolled onto the penis before coitus to prevent impregnation or catching VD. Synonym, overcoat, rubber, top coat, related term, ride bareback. To fuck without a raincoat. Also seem, cum drum. Now, this being said, so I'm going to go back. So I wanted to bring that up because I think it's important to have safe sex, mm-hmm. and it is Definitely. STD Awareness Month, so raincoat is our term today.
Wrap it up.
But to go back to our definition, condom, rubber sheath rolled onto a penis before coitus.
Okay, so Chris, do you want to take this or should I?
No, I want to take this one.
Okay, so let me set the stage, though. So we were at... the Rocky Horror Show, not the Rocky Horror Picture Show. The Rocky Horror mm-hmm. Show presented to you by none other than the amazing Summer Orlando. Okay, go.
So we're at the Shea Lounge, Shea's in Hartford, Connecticut.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we had them on.
We don't work there.
We don't work there. We don't. We do not. We had them on a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, oh, fuck, they're totally going to shame us when we get there. Like, I knew it. I got the V. I got the V for being a
he
Rocky
sure
Horror
did for
virgin.
A virgin.
Red
and I got
lipstick.
Pictures, and I put it on the... wait, did I put that on our personal Facebook?
You didn't
Facebook?
Put it on our personal Facebook, no. Not, you didn't put it on Gay Talk's page.
I'm going to put it on Gay Talk.
I know you will.
Sorry.
So, Camille, you're going to be up there, too. So, I got the red V on the forehead, and then they said... oh, we're asking for couples to come up for a competition. But I didn't know that they said couples. So Tom's calling me up and walking up. I'm pretty much trying to push myself between these two bears that are like together because I didn't know they said couple. And one of them was like fighting to not let me in. I'm like, oh, it's because I was trying to get between them. So we go over to the end. They come out with bananas for one part of the couple. Tom gets the banana. Then they come out.
No, you got the banana first.
No,
I got. Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah. I got the banana.
Then they come by and they start handing out condoms. And I look out to the crowd. And this is also right after I just met that kid I worked with at the Boy Scout camp who hadn't seen me in 6 years. And I'm like, I'm not doing this. I don't know what's happening, but I'm not doing this. And then she says, you know, to promote safe sex because of the awareness month, we want to teach you to how to put a condom on. But you can't use your hands. And I'm like, I looked at the crowd. Everyone's dying laughing. I'm like, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this in front of you. I'm not doing this in my own bedroom to myself. Like, no. So Tom and I switched. Of course.
Well, I had the banana in my hand. And I'm looking at him like, really? You're not going to do this? I was like, come on. Do it for gay talk. He's like, no, I'm not doing this, Tommy. I'm not doing this.
I'm not deep throwing a banana that you're holding next to your crotch in front of like 50 people.
I'm like, fine. Here's the banana. Give me the condom. Go.
I will say that. Out of the, was it four couples that we had up?
There was four couples, yes. Four couples, eight people.
Right. So I will give Tom some credit. He did come in second place, so he's not a total slut. Like, he did come in second place, and he got it up there, and then they came out and handed us some prizes.
No, but you're sugarcoating the story. No. I need to elaborate a little bit more, because I feel like our listeners are really going to enjoy this. So Chris is standing there, and he's holding his banana face up. And I'm like, bitch, turn it around. I don't have a gag reflex, right? So I really don't. So if you put the banana down, I can go deep.
Oh, my God.
Talented. So the key is you got
to... I'm trying to say you're not a slut.
I'm not a slut. I'm just talented. There's a difference.
Excuse me.
So you have to put the condom in your mouth, right? So you put it so that the...
put it in your mouth the wrong way by accident, then flip it around and get the right way.
Yeah, so always. You bite it so that you have that tip.
But lightly bite it. You don't want to create holes.
You don't.
Thank God it's a banana.
So you put it over the banana. When they say go, you just start literally taking your lips and just rolling the condom out. And I went deep. But the guy, two guys down from me,
the bear,
he was like, bitch, I got this. And he was like, whoa. He went down. I went down. I was like, that shit was all the way down in my throat. I was like,
well, the
oh
other
my
guy,
God. I just blew my co-host.
There were two lesbians up there, by the way.
Yes, they were.
No wonder they came in fourth.
We did say that somehow the first place winner, there was no banana left in the. Yeah, it was just a peel.
Oh, but wait, I'm not done. So I put the condom and I'm like, I told you I didn't have a gag reflex. This one, his eyes were like, holy shit, I can't believe like you went in on the banana. And then he's like, pops the banana open.
I slipped the condom down and I fucking ate the banana.
He literally just started eating the banana for everybody. And of course, so I don't know if you guys caught the reference, but when we had Summer Orlando and her cast on the show, we talked about a fleshlight and the fact that Chris had never used one. So the company that sponsored part of the show for the Rocky Horror Picture Show, which is Naughty Cocktail Parties.
Rocky Horror Show.
The Rocky Horror Show. What did I say?
Picture show.
God damn it.
I know.
I hate that
shit. Potato, patata, Berlin, Berlin.
Exactly. So anyway, Naughty Cocktail Parties actually listened to our show and sent the cast and the group fleshlights to give out as prizes for these competitions. And because we came in second place, guess who won a fleshlight? The person who actually never used one. So Chris got one. Did you use it?
I did.
And how was it?
It's pretty much explained to me why I think sex is like, it's annoying.
What?
Oh, Lord have mercy.
It's annoying because I went to try it and I'm like, I thought it was like fucking jelly or something on the inside. And I'm like, oh, you have to fucking lube it up. And it takes,
yeah, of course you need to lube it up.
It takes work. It's just like butt sex. It takes work.
Did you get the anal?
It was a butt. Camille was saying that. We did open it. It was a nice little pink hole. But I was like,
why does
this
it have
is
to
too
be
much
pink?
Work.
So racist, this one.
It was a pink hole. They I'm got kidding. It. Yes, it was nice, medium, rare. And it was perfectly cooked. But it was just like, when I'm ready to just be like, I'm done. No, that took work. And I was like, I'll probably try it again, though.
Let's just say we had a really fucking fantastic time at the Rocky Horror Show. Summer Orlando, thank you for having us.
And by the way, it's actually called a masturbation sleeve.
The masturbation sleeve.
It says it on the instructions.
And to Naughty Cocktail Parties, thank you for listening to our show and thank you for providing such amazing products to the show and for having our co-host try one for the first time.
Send us another one? Send Gay Talk another one so that I can actually test it out and give a proper... review.
I'm uncomfortable with this conversation.
A proper review. I'm not putting your used fleshlight on
like
my
desk. It's like half used.
So okay. I need a real one.
I'll take one too. If you want our information, just reach out to us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com.
Yep. Because, I mean, I want to give a real review because that was like,
I'm
going
to try it again. It just was more work than I expected when I was like drunk, ready to pass out. And I thought it was going to be like a, you know, 45
second session. Well, I'm sort of kind of upset that I'm the one that had to swallow almost that whole banana.
And you didn't even get the fleshlight.
And he got the fleshlight.
No, okay, by the way, she came out and she handed it to me immediately. And she was like, that's for you, honey.
Yeah, I know.
She needs it.
Well, only because he mentioned it on the show. So kudos, Chris. You did wonderful.
I'll just name it Ray.
I did amazing. Thank you. My throat is still intact.
That is so sad. That is so fucking sad.
I know.
Anyway. Well,
I haven't had such a... Yeah.
No, we're not going
there.
We're not going
there. We're
not going
there. I'll start crying.
All right. So before... Now that we're done with all that craziness, I want to talk about something a little bit serious. So one of our it's serious, but it's not like bad, horrible. No, it's not on the notes.
Nick and I both just leaned in to see like, what the fuck is Tommy doing?
At Partners Cafe, we usually host a party, and it's a diva social.
Yes, and good story,
we host a social about transgender women, transsexuals, transvestites, anything and anyone is always welcome, and we always, you know, come together as a community. Well, anyway, one of our dear friends to the show and to our community suffered a really, really big tragedy. She lost her entire home in a fire. And we're talking about Angelina North. And so we put up a link for a GoFundMe on our Facebook page to help, you know. And so I do need to call something out because it pissed me off that someone did this. I got a personal message saying, why do we need to fund someone when they have insurance and most likely they'll get money for insurance? And so why are we going to do a whole GoFundMe page to give this person money? Well, let me tell you something. When you lose everything that you own in a fire, that insurance company is not going to come through for you in 2 days. You still have expenses. You still need to stay somewhere. You still need to eat. You still need to find a kennel for your dog, a place to sleep at. All that takes money. So for you, shame on you for questioning why we're even starting a GoFundMe page. You do it out of the kindness of your heart. You help your fellow human being and hope that one day when something bad happens to you,
other people step up for that.
May receive the same grace and help that someone that you bestowed on someone.
Yeah, if you don't want to help, then you don't help. But don't try to shame people that are going out of their way to help people.
Not at all. This is not a scam. Someone's life was literally completely obliterated in a fire. Everything that you just imagine, everything that you own, pictures, memories, your hard work, your life savings,
your
everything,
clothing,
everything goes. Everything you need. You know what? People don't realize how expensive it is. Yeah, the Red Cross will help you for a couple of days, but guess what, honey? You're not going to get much. You have to stay somewhere.
Right.
And if you don't have family or friends or people that can help you, you have to go to a hotel or somewhere where you can lodge, and that costs money. So these fundraisers help people to get through the toughest part of their situation, of their crisis, and then...
But this is what GoFundMe is for. I mean, like, exactly. There are people that are, like, putting up stupid things, like, GoFundMe, help me get somewhere so
what about
I can
the
meet
woman,
this person.
What about the
or,
woman
like,
who put her entire life savings... withdrew her entire life savings and put it on the lottery, lost, and then started a GoFundMe account. Please help me. I lost all my life savings trying to win the lottery, and I have to feed a family.
Yeah,
that's your own irresponsibility. Exactly. You shouldn't take it out on if you have a young child, but...
Well, anyway, you know, I don't want to belittle anyone for being an ass. I'm done with it. But all I will say this...
never done it. It's like one more stab. No. And twist.
If you're an ass, stab, twist, go...
And salt.
Gut. Let you bleed out. Yeah, sure. No, but seriously. In all seriousness, I have worked every single Divas Night, and these group of women, / whatever you want to call them, men, transvestites, transsexuals, it doesn't matter. They are the best, the absolute best human beings you will ever meet in your life. And if you feel it in your heart to help someone out and know that one day, if something happens to you, someone has the heart to help you, do it. Go to our Facebook page. The link for the GoFundMe page is there. Her name is Angelina North. She is a wonderful human being. And let's help her out. That's all I ask. And that's done. And I almost cried.
That's great. Well, not to cry, but helping out.
So, no, but seriously, help out. Because you know what? There's no reason to be mean. A lot of people don't know the circumstances of anybody's life and what people go through. And so, to that individual that reached out to me, fuck you.
In other news.
There you go, Trish. Take it away.
Google.
Yes.
Google. Oh, Google.
So, Google released a new ad. And this ad is for, I don't know. It's like their Siri, kind of, right?
I don't know what it's called.
But whatever.
Google Home.
But
it's a weird name.
But they have the cutest ad. It's gay dads with two kids, and they're walking into the kitchen, just starting their day, and they're like, "Google, what's my schedule like?" And then, you know, the thing responds.
Oh, it's Google's Alexa.
Sort of,
Alexa is with Amazon.
Alexa's from Amazon.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So it's Google's
Alexa.
But then Alexa,
the other one's like, Google, what's my day like? Your first meeting's not till 10 a.m. Oh, honey, I'll take them to school. And then you just see them all leave and like have a moment. And it's just like one of those, I preach about it all the time, visibility, but this is what I'm talking about. And this is the shit that needs to be out there. It makes me so excited.
Right. These big companies are the ones that need to stand up to this discrimination going out there.
Yeah.
And that's what makes a huge difference.
And put out these ads and these commercials, making people realize that we're just a normal family.
Mm-hmm.
We're just getting up, loving our kids and going to work.
And sending them to school.
Yeah. This is the stuff that I live for. And I just like can't get enough of.
Claps for Google.
Google.
Yes, Google. But you know what? When we think about all the amazing things that Google has done, we covered a story in where Google actually helped a mother in Colombia.
Yeah, we talked about
it. Remember that? They did the Google.
Like the vision.
The vision.
And they showed like all these pride parades all over the world to these young adults that didn't know that this whole new world existed. And it's like, you know,
and that's possible.
Bravo, Google.
Yeah.
Because you know what? You are one of those companies, like a lot of LGBT friendly companies like Apple, that are really at the forefront of making sure that humans and the people know that, you know what? We're here and we're amazing human beings.
Well, and all you ignorant fucks use Google every day.
Yeah.
And now they're standing up for something that they, as a company, believe in. How does that make you feel? You exactly. want to go to Yahoo? Good luck.
Boom! Yes, queen! So, I fucking love Ellen.
That's actually great. So, when they're looking at, like, Google gay conversion therapy, the ad's going to pop up of a fucking gay couple with their children. Love that. Enjoy that.
Yeah.
Enjoy that.
Hello.
Bigot.
So... Who is responsible for this amazing, beautiful Ellen post that we have here?
Oh, it's probably Chris.
Is it?
No.
It's called sarcasm.
Oh, it's Trish.
Welcome to Visibility in the Corner of Trish. Hello.
Hello. Let's talk about this because this is beautiful.
All right. So this this little kid, his name is Ruben DeMade. He is from, Chris, can you read that? Because it's
Llandaff,
yeah, Wales.
Llandaff.
Oh, wow. Okay, great. He's 12 years old.
Like that you have to ask me for any town outside of the U.S.
I know.
How do you say that? Sorry, continue. Good
it's
story.
Not Brookfield. Amigo. What do you want me to say?
Hello.
But like Hello. This little, he's 12 years old. He is a vocalist, but he's also a makeup artist. And he's beautiful. This little kid is gorgeous. I mean, and he does it himself. He does his mom's makeup. He does his sister's makeup.
Fierce.
It looks so good. And it's if you beautiful. Watch Ellen, she shows a couple different pictures of him in different, you know, makeup. And it's incredible what this kid can do. And it's all by watching YouTube tutorials and stuff like that. But what she did, and obviously he wears makeup regularly. So he's been bullied. And I think that's the beauty in the story. She brought him on the show, and he's been moved into a different school where he can be more of himself. And obviously, the picture we're all looking at that our listeners can't see, it's more drastic than what he would wear on a normal day, is what he said. But she gave him everything he needs to start his own YouTube channel.
That's awesome.
So he can start teaching kids at 12 years old or however old how to put on makeup as a boy or put on makeup in general because...
Mm-hmm. Or start your own YouTube channel. Oh, and by the way, you know, one of our previous guests, Michael Buckley...
I was going to say, Michael Buckley probably really liked this book, story.
Or, yeah. You know, hey, my child wants to become a YouTuber and how do you do that? Look up the book. He is so...
My child wants to be a YouTube star.
Yes,
that's it.
Thank you.
And another beautiful part is... They pan to the parents in the audience, and their faces are just glowing. They're so proud of him standing up and being himself. And he even said he just finally, when people were bullying him and hitting him and being mean, he finally just stood up. And he stood up and he kept standing up until they finally said, "Okay, we need to
move along because this bitch is fierce."
Yeah, exactly.
And
she's
gonna do it. And yeah. So. Claps for him. Absolutely. Let me tell you, if you get a chance, look him up. Again, it's Reuben, and that's spelled R-E-U-B-E-N-D-E. That's the middle leading into his last name.
Demade.
M-A-I-D. That's 12-year-old. Absolutely beautiful. And Ellen, as always, Trish loves you. Thank you.
And can you go talk to Oprah? Because I know she lives across the street from you.
I told you she does.
So Ellen go and, fucking talk to her.
Ellen and fucking Rosie are trying to break down her fucking door right now. Like, bitch is taking on who?
Yeah. I know.
But what I really wanted to say is, Ellen, thank you for always being a beacon in our community. Mm-hmm. Thank you for always bringing the best of us and for putting us at the forefront of what it is that you are as a human being. Thank you. Because I know Trish loves you. So, guys, do you want to keep going or do we want to wrap this up?
Let's wrap it up. Can I just say one thing? I just want to say that moment, because I do love Ellen and I talk about it all the time, but that moment that I fell in love with her.
Talk about that.
When Matthew Shepard died and she got up, tears in her eyes. And fucking talked to our community, talked to her people, and said, "This is never happening again."
That was strong.
She,
let me tell you,
that moment was, because I was so young when that happened, and I was just like, and I knew I was gay. I wasn't out.
Oh, honey.
But everyone knew.
Everybody knew.
But it was like when she stood up there and said that, I felt validated. I felt strong enough to stand up and be who I was. And that's why I love her.
I love Ellen because Ellen was courageous when people didn't want to be courageous. She was courageous before there was Will and Grace. She was fired for being courageous. She was rehired for being courageous. She was changed and changed the world for being courageous. So Ellen, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's all we can say.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll go with some announcements. You know, if you love the show, if you loved what you've heard tonight, head on over to iTunes and rate us and leave us a review. This allows for our podcast to become more visible within the Apple and iTunes ecosystem. You can also support the show by becoming a Patreon. By doing so, you, our listeners, can help support our show by pledging.
Before suggestions.
Let me try that again. Pledging a monthly donation, something as little as a dollar, goes a long way. So, Chris.
And once again, Pink Eggs and Glam. Fuck, now you're screwing me up. Once again, Pink Eggs and Glam returns April 30th in Berlin, Connecticut, featuring Dirty Dorothy. Head on over to skycasper.com for tickets and information.
Also, the Hartford Gay Man's Chorus will be hosting their spring concert.
All right, can I stop you for a minute? Go ahead. Tell them what it is.
All right. The event will take place in May. So Friday, May 19th at 8, Saturday, May 20th at 8, and Sunday, May 21st at 3 p.m. You can see the Hartford Gay Man's Chorus, and they're amazing. Four tickets you can visit. tickets.hgmc.org.
And they are amazing. We saw their Christmas show. So
yeah, it was great.
Trust me when I tell you.
I wasn't invited.
I'm going to kill this bitch. She's never invited to anything.
I'm not.
I know.
She's never available, is yeah, what it
remember
is.
When, fuck her. Remember when I wasn't at this weekend's event? So fuck off. I wasn't invited.
Oh, as if. Anyway, it's a fantastic time. You gotta check out this course. They're amazing. Chris.
Let's put a rubber on this.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Alrighty, guys. Our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces.
Yes, queen.
You can find us on social media. Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0. Instagram, Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0. Twitter, @GayTalk20. You can email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com.
And you can also contact
take it away. Wow, this got messy, guys.
It yeah, sure did.
I know.
You can contact us by visiting our website, where you can leave us a message, a comment, and/or a suggestion. You can submit a question for the cast or an individual host. You can also leave us a question via voice message so that the cast can answer it on the show by calling 334-GAY-TALK. Again, those numbers are 334-429-8255. Don't forget that we are streaming this show live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. on digitalstreamradio.com. Ladies and gentlemen, that is our show. Thank you so much, and y'all have a good night.
Bye!
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.